The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition, and you are listening to the PBD Cast by John Orwater. Or wait, Orlando? Yes, John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 213. I was off last week enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope that each and every one of you had a very happy Thanksgiving. Mine was very low-key, but yet enjoyable, and now I'm back in the saddle to bring you a new episode, which I'm sure many people probably were not surprised by the fact that since the last time you heard my voice, you knew that DJ Joey Blaze and I talked about a preview for the Survivor Series that happened just about a week and a half ago. Well, now we're joined by Ringside Rand, and the Pro Wrestling Pundits and I are going to give a review of the Survivor Series. Now, I will be completely honest. We recorded this episode on November 26th, so there's been a few things that have kind of happened in the world of the WWE since our discussion, but nonetheless, we do kind of go over our insights, our opinions on what went on at the Survivor Series, both good and bad, and maybe even in between. So that's what we're going to do, and we're happy that Rand could join us, because on the last, on the preview episode, unfortunately, his aunt was very, very ill and was in the hospital, and very glad to hear that she's doing okay. So with that, before I throw it to a quick break, you know, I got to let you know about this episode and its sponsor. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They have a new location, which they are at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have pretty much everything you need for your comic book fandom. They got single issues, they got graphic novels, they got toys, they got comic book supplies, various other collectibles, and they even have a pull system. So if you don't want to miss a single issue of your favorite comic, all you got to do is sign up and Jeff will pull it for you and hold it. So if you need more information on that pull system or you just want to get more details, all you can do is just simply go over to WGComics.com, which is their official website, or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for WG Comics. Or better yet, just jump on over to the store, man. That would be the best way to do it. But nonetheless, if you interact, whether in person or via the internet, let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from yours truly, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. So with that little bit of business out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm joined by the Pro Wrestling Pundits to talk about the Survivor Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And when I say we, I mean, of course, the Pro Wrestling Pundits are joining yours truly here to review Survivor Series. Ringside Rand.
Community serve time is up.
How is your aunt in all seriousness? Is
she doing well? Okay. Appointment coming up. Things look to be thumbs up.
Okay, good. And DJ Joey Blaze back again.
I think there is some about that community time. He does have a nice little a bracelet on his ankle, I noticed over here. Just keeps blinking at me.
It's a garage door opener, sir. Okay.
Well, we are going to dissect and talk about the Survivor Series, which happened just this past weekend. Man, a ton of action went down on Saturday with NXT TakeOver War Games and then Sunday with Survivor Series. So we're going to talk all about it. I don't know if we'll be able to really be able to say, yes, I was right with my prediction or you were wrong with your prediction because Rand wasn't here last time. So I don't know. We have some incomplete predictions, don't we, Joey? Or you still want to go with the...
We could kind of talk about it. I think...
Okay, all right.
One of the, I did say that NXT would win the night. I believe that was said somewhere in the...
That is correct.
I think they would run the table like they did, to the extent that they did, where Raw would only have one win.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm sure he has his predictions on him from what he missed the other time.
So. Mine are all correct, by the way, and you can't prove me wrong.
Touche, Rand.
What made you think NXT would do so well?
Because of the way they were pushing them. And then going to, when we broke down each match, it just seemed like the right picks. And we'll talk about it as we go through the results, because there's a couple that really threw me off.
Yep, there is, there is. And you know, one other thing that I think, to be honest with you, Joey and Rand, that I overlooked was it would make sense to push NXT because you're in the Wednesday Night War now.
Smack dab right in the middle. Heck yeah.
So I think that's maybe, you may have mentioned it on the episode, but I think I totally overlooked the fact that that probably was some of the decision making, you know, behind giving the win to NXT.
And also, too, with Triple H handling that, you know, and he's eventually going to kind of handle everything. So maybe it's kind of a precursor to that as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that these people that are so strong in NXT will stay on NXT? Or do you think that they will be moved to what is we can consider the main rosters? Because all three have TV.
Yeah, I think that there will be fewer and fewer call-ups to the main roster, personally, from NXT, now that they have the USA Network deal. I still think there will be a few folks that go up. Eventually, I mean, Keith Lee is going to go. I mean, look at that guy. He's gigantic, and he moves like a cruiserweight. Vince loves him, apparently. He's going to be going there.
Oh, wait, a black guy that Vince loves?
Well, he loves R-Truth, too.
Yeah, but hopefully he doesn't get him. He doesn't call Keith Lee Mark Henry or something.
So well, I mean, it's hard to tell. You're right.
But here's one thing, too. They're going to run Full Sail through March 2020. Then after that, they'll probably be touring more from what I get from that.
Yeah.
So that goes hand in hand with what you're saying. You'll want to keep the same guys. Keep the fluidity of it. So... I think you're going to see less and less, too. I'd agree with that.
I do. I think eventually somewhere down the road, Damian Priest goes up. I think that he definitely will. I think the smaller yet more high-flying, you know, style of wrestlers or the smaller guys, the Adam Coles, I'm sorry, is never going to go to the main roster. I'm sorry. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see Roderick Strong going up. I don't see, you know, Matt Riddle possibly, but I really don't see him. But again, that's fine if you're like, hey, look, let's be honest. If you're a wrestler and you have a pretty good, you're getting paid pretty well and you're running a much lighter schedule and you're in NXT, isn't there something to be said about that? That, hey, man, I'm cool to stay here.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know?
Reduced travel.
Right.
State of Florida, no income tax.
Okay. I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, no state income tax. Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Okay.
The travel... People don't realize how rotten their lifestyle is because of the traveling.
Oh, no. I admitted that in our group text that if Vince called tomorrow and says, John, we want you, I'd last a year maybe. I'm too old for the travel and the stress. I'm just being 100% honest. So, an NXT deal.
You're not even looking at the physical.
Right. No. You're
pounding in the ring.
Correct.
And that's why I think that's one of the things with Balor going down. I think that was part of his decision, too.
Yeah,
he kind of maybe even went because he that schedule because he's kind of got beat up a little bit lately, so he probably appreciates that as well.
Certainly. To answer your question, Rand, I don't see as many call ups. I still think there'll be a few, but I don't think there'll be as many now that we have established NXT as a third brand that is, shall we say, on par with the other two.
I totally agree, especially after Sunday.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
at least in the discussion, which so it's worked out instead of having 2 nights of 5 hours of wrestling.
You now have seven.
7 hours of network.
I think it'd be better with 6 hours of wrestling, but that's a whole other story.
That is. All right, let's jump into it. So the pre-show matches. First of all, I'm going to be 100% honest. I had no idea that there was a 10-team battle royal. I totally missed it. I have no idea when it was
that
on.
That was last minute.
Okay, it was last minute.
Everything in the pre-show, I think, was definitely last minute, and especially after we had recorded.
Sure. And in fact, I think we talked about maybe there was going to be a 10-man Survivor Series elimination match, so they turned it into a battle royal. But again, I totally missed it. Rude and Ziggler were your winners, giving SmackDown the nod real quick in a first victory. Did you guys catch that match or no?
How long is the pre-show on these things now?
I swore that I read that the pre-show was at 6, but apparently it wasn't. Apparently it was
it
started, at 5.
It came on after TakeOver, I think.
It came on after TakeOver.
Because WrestleMania's pre-show starts like a week before, it seems.
Yeah, yeah, it does. You're right. Yeah.
Here again, this is the internet era.
Sure.
Instead of the cable era, when we had the 7.5-hour show.
Right. To lead you into buying the pay-per-view. Right, right. Right.
Sunday Night Heat.
Anyways, the last team that was eliminated by Rude and Ziggler was the Street Profits, which I'm surprised that they didn't get the win, especially if you've already mapped out the final score. Why not make it, you know, a win there?
Or even the OC. They're the number one tag team in the world, according to the World Cup. Well, right. So they give them the cup, and then they're going to just go back to jobbing them again.
I guess so. Now, on to the Cruiserweight title match. We saw Kalisto and Tozawa challenge Lio Rush in this three-way dance.
Wasn't that supposed to just be Garza versus Lio Rush? I thought
it was originally rumored to be Garza versus Lio Rush, and no word as to why they changed that, or at least that I know of.
I like the switch-up, though. I think that way you have guys from each brand. You can kind of... Last year, we sat here, we talked about, why didn't it count on the pre-show? Now it's counting on the pre-show this year, and they don't say anything about it.
Right, exactly. Rand, what did you think about this match?
So, there's no logic to the rules of wrestling?
Dollar in the jar.
It's rather convenient what you want it to be.
Oh, I'm going to be broke tonight, I think.
Yeah. Rand, what did you think about the Cruiserweight title match?
I liked it. I thought it was good action.
I did, too. I liked what I saw, and it was good. I will confess again, there was a little technical glitch during the middle of this match that things had to be rebooted, so I did miss a little bit of it. But from what I saw, I really liked it. It was your standard Cruiserweight match that got people into it. And as I said, Lio Rush retains. So that moves on over to what I thought was a little bit shocking to be on the pre-show. And that was War Raiders taking on New Day and Fish and O'Reilly from the Undisputed Era.
Well, I think they had to kind of map it out for time, but I think if they'd left on the regular show, they'd have plenty of time, if I'm not mistaken, from when it ended.
Yeah, of course.
If you're going by the standard, what we used to have, 11 o'clock window.
Right. I got to be honest, I thought this was a good match, but I felt like it was a good match for Raw or SmackDown. I didn't really feel like there's just something for me missing from it.
Not the normal tag team three-way dance you would expect when Fish and O'Reilly are in it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, like I said, it was good. It was solid. It was entertaining. But I'm like, I could be watching this on SmackDown.
Are you also saying it would have been a better three-way if the Revival would have been a part of it instead of the New Day?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yes.
Good point.
However,
I did pick the War Raiders, I believe, for that, if I'm not mistaken.
You and I both did. We both agreed that the
Is that their War name Raiders? This week?
This week, yes.
The War Raiders. So okay.
It's not Super Bowl 11 rematch of Vikings Raiders?
No.
No.
Okay, no, but that's a good one, too. Or can I just call him Roe Hansen? Or Hansen Roe?
I don't want to use that name, Hansen, on your podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Anyways. So then that moves us actually into the actual Survivor Series pay-per-view. In the very first thing. Finally, after 3 hours. our very first thing we're going to throw out there is, of course, the Ladies 5-on-5-on-5 Survivor Series bout. And I got to be honest, I was a little concerned, but it worked out really, really well is to have the 3-on-3-on-3. You know what I mean? Like, there were three people in the ring at all times, which at first I was a little thrown off. Going, wait a minute. Back in the day, it was, you know, even if you had those 10 teams, everybody was on the apron, and that's what I thought it was going to be. But then I was like, well, okay, I guess you have to have it that way, as it was pointed out to me, because otherwise, you could just stay on the apron like Team SmackDown and just let everybody else beat the shit out of each other, and there you go.
Yeah. He's using logic again.
Put the money in the jar. Anyways, Rand, what do you think of the ladies' Survivor Series matchup?
I was really surprised Dana Brooks made a pay-per-view. Carmella still can't wrestle, but she's interesting and fun.
You know what? I give a tip of the hat to Dana Brooks because she was on a pay-per-view. I think she was in the ring twice. She took one bump, and she got a paycheck.
Can't go wrong with that.
That's right. You can't knock that hustle now, can you?
Nope. We got some interesting characters. I don't understand this whole pirate girl, the Asian Pirates team.
Kabuki Warrior?
Yeah.
The Asian Pirates.
Yes.
What a great name. Oh, man. If Vince ever hears this episode, he's going to go, God damn it, pal. That's a good idea.
I should call him the Orient Pirate Express. I love it. I love that Asuka's spreading the great green mist. I mean, if you're just going to, might as well go all in on the complete Japanese gimmick at this
the
point.
The Kabuki Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay, here we go. I'm going to put more money in the jar. So Asuka turns on Ric Flair, turns on Charlotte Flair.
Who's looking down on Charlotte, according to Jerry Lawler, which I'm sure we heard that line last night, if I'm not mistaken, on Raw.
Ric Flair hasn't passed, has he?
No, he has not passed.
Anyway.
You know, I don't know. Asuka, maybe she does spray Ric in the face. I don't know. Asuka turns on Charlotte and leaves, right? But she wasn't technically eliminated. But yet later in the match, Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, they are injured, but then they come back to interfere and help Rhea Ripley win. So I was a little bit confused by that whole, I don't know, change out or whatnot.
Yeah,
I know it's logic, put the money in the jar.
And the booking was definitely weird, but what a week for Rhea Ripley, right?
Yeah.
She has a match with Becky Lynch. She goes over on Sasha and Charlotte on SmackDown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her team wins, which we'll talk about later in more games, and then she wins the Survivor Series. Talk about being pushed to the moon.
Oh, believe it or not, Ripley does well.
That
was required.
Wow.
That was. She's, and look, let's be honest, she's got all the tools. I mean, she does a pretty decent promo. She's got the size, she's got the strength, she's got the looks.
I totally agree. I'm really excited. I've been a fan since I started watching, but the thing I was most excited about was a Toni Storm sighting. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
On a regular WWE pay-per-view. Very cool.
Yeah.
I hope we see more of her on stateside programming than just the NXT UK.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Ran, your thoughts on this?
I like the action. I did. I thought it makes the Kabuki Warriors look good. Turns them heel, makes them look bad on Charlotte. The people coming back was interesting. Rhea Ripley was my winner of the night. I thought she, for somebody I hadn't seen much of,
mm-hmm.
she had the best night.
She definitely did. And if I take a look at the stats from, I think I picked the NXT women's team to win.
You did.
Okay.
You picked,
fantastic.
And because I picked Team Raw because I thought that just having Charlotte Flair on the team, or Ric Flair, as I said, would help them win. But
thank God he was, like we said, looking down on her.
Yes. Anywho, so the next match is probably the most shocking, and to me, as we talked about, the best match of the night. Roderick Strong gets the win over AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Well, in AJ and Shinsuke, you have two guys who had a WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
And to give that much rub to Roderick Strong is a big push to him.
Mm-hmm.
These are three guys who have had bigger titles. And it was a great match. I thought there was a lot of good action there. It made Strong look sneaky, the way he comes in.
Oh, I love the finish. The finish was great.
The finish was phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm happy for Roddy. I mean, Roddy's been doing that sneaky gimmick kind of recently anyway. He's doing the whole...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's nice being a guy that watching these... At least with AJ and Roddy come up over the years, and then they finally get a match where they're all in the ring with Nakamura, and they get to put on something in the large stage. I enjoyed the match thoroughly. Unfortunately, I didn't pick this one.
No, as when you look over here, you and I both agreed AJ Styles would retain because he's going to be the centerpiece for when Lesnar takes a little hiatus with the U.S. belt.
And as we found out last night, that's not happening.
That's not happening either. Yes. I mean, Rey Mysterio picking up the win last night to be the new U.S. champion, which how many times does that make him a U.S. champion?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but I know he's held it one other time.
Hey, statistics, can you look that up for us?
I just think that this was by far a very well-structured three-way dance, too, by the way. It didn't seem to be... sloppy. It didn't seem to be that they were, as happens sometimes with three-way dances, like they were all on the same page is what I was trying to get at with that. But I think this was match of the night, hands down.
Well, I think when you have those guys anyways that have that experience, you know, Japan, doing those type of matches, I mean, it was a perfect ingredient for success anyways.
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth action. Nobody looked extremely dominant or extremely weak.
Yeah. Yeah. like I said, overall, very, very well done. Okay, I got to confess, our next match left me a little bit disappointed. And I know, hopefully, Joey, you agree. I don't know. Adam Cole defeated Pete Dunne to retain the NXT title. Ran, your thoughts?
It was part of the big weekend where these guys are beat up from the night before. Mm-hmm. They're taped up. They're injured. And I don't think I've ever heard the term small finger manipulation or small joint manipulation before. Yep.
I think Cypress Hill has used large joint manipulation, but I'm not sure about small joint.
This is something that makes Pete Dunne stand out. He's got something that he does and nobody else does. And by the way, a Panama Surprise, Panama Sunrise?
Yes.
This sounds like a drink from spring break.
I was disappointed in this match because it got way too ridiculous for me. And here's just my thoughts behind it. Number one, I figured that Cole's injuries would lead into something with maybe Dunne winning. It didn't seem like any of his injuries from the night before impeded him at all. So I was kind of like, sell the ribs. They're taped up. Sell the neck. But you're coming in after taking one hellacious bump that was insane the night before. Use that in the match. It was not used.
And here's the thing, to even go double up on that, is they talked about that.
Yeah!
Like, they mentioned, you know, the night before, how good type of shape is he going to be in tomorrow night to defend the title. They talked about it then. What? It's almost like he miraculously healed. Maybe went and saw Benny Hinn or something.
I don't know.
That day and was
I don't know. Healed. Plus, here's my other question. How many Canadian destroyers do we need in a match, please?
First only of all, one, that one being from Ricky Morton.
That's yeah, well, correct. I mean, but the one on the apron, and then that's a false finish. What the hell? You just dropped the man on the hardest part of the ring. Legit, that is, people. If you're listening, that's not just a thing that commentators say. Legit, it's the hardest part of the goddamn ring. And you did the flip pile driver on that. At this point, can I ask, if you allow that, why can't we just have the regular pile driver, like, you know, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff? Why can't we just have that now back?
You would assume so. The Destroyer's way more scary.
Yeah.
And a lot can go, more can go wrong with that.
And hell, I mean, Owens pitched and teased that package pile driver, you know, the night before.
Right.
You know. So, I mean, it was cool to see the super kick from Cole, a la his match with Ricochet on Pete Dunne. I agree with you, Rand. Pete Dunne has a very unique look. He has a very unique style. I just felt this match was just way super indie for me. Sorry.
Yeah, I just wish that there's certain things I'd like to see happen that match better to elevate Pete Dunne because
yes.
I think he's, like I said, he's definitely somebody that they need to keep pushing to the moon because of so many reasons. So real quick, I just spoke to Philip in statistics.
Okay.
In my ear.
All right.
Thanks again, Philip. Two-time United States heavyweight champion.
I thought he was two-time.
Which I would have thought more being his run in WCW. Yeah, but two-time. That's including WCW where he never held it there.
Okay. I thought he was a two-time U.S. champ. Cool. So, yeah, Pete Dunne does not pick up the victory over Adam Cole, which kind of makes you speculate who's going to beat Adam Cole for that NXT title.
I don't think who wrestles there anymore. I think who passed away.
No.
I don't know. A
little dated on our podcast here tonight, fellas.
you can Wikipedia that at home. Anyways.
But, that's a great point because, I mean, I think Damian Priest, that strap would look good around. He's got a great look.
Yeah.
And he's doing well. But yeah, who do you put it on?
There's, I mean, do you give Pete Dunne another rematch? Is this something that we can go for a couple of months with?
Are they waiting on the return of the Dream?
True. There you go.
Or Ciampa. I mean, Ciampa's obviously, he wants mm-hmm. Goldie back, but I don't think he's going to get it back right away.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, they'll probably either continue with Pete Dunne or maybe you got Dream and Gargano on the injured list right now. So
right.
There's a couple guys that would be in that main event as well.
Rand, anything else on this match or shall we move on to the
next Nigel match? McGuinness, who I kind of think is the descendant of Sir Alfred Hayes, dated reference, did say during the show, it has been a month since NXT went mainstream. Just think of the impact that has had.
It hasn't been on
main You're right.
regular TV for when it has had a huge impact.
Let's move on to the next match, which I think was just awful. I'm sorry. I was so bored with this match. The Fiend defeats Daniel Bryan. Again, I thought this match would be so much better. As I wrote down, it's the quality of a SmackDown main event. And then I followed it up with, No more goddamn red lights.
As somebody who goes to wrestling, I have not been to one of the Fiend's matches. What does that do to a camera when you take pictures?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
I hate the red light. I love the Fiend, but I hate the red light. And I did miss the intros on this. He didn't have the lantern with him anymore.
No, he did. He actually did, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
They did not show. They only showed, like, they caught it in frame a couple of times when he carried it. And then they showed it on the apron, but they did not really focus on it like they've done before in the past.
I think they need to drop the red light. But this was my take it to the bank pick.
That is correct. Same with
ding,
me.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding. So we're right on that one. Yeah, it was definitely a weird match. And he's already going a different route, but I don't understand why he's defending it on dark matches on Raw. He defended it last night against Drew McIntyre after it went off the air. So I don't understand the direction they're going to go with that. They're obviously introducing a new character to the Funhouse.
Well, I believe the rumors have been that there has been speculation that maybe Liv Morgan will return and be Sister Abigail, possibly.
Okay.
As she has been Instagramming or tweeting out pictures of her looking a lot gothier, if you will, than in the past. So maybe that's who it is. I just felt this match. To me, number one, seemed like it was like going half speed. And I just expected a little bit more because it's Survivor Series, man. Let's pick up the pace a little bit.
Here's the thing. Once he gets in that type of stage and they give him this push and we're all happy to see him there, and then there's floundering matches like his match with Randy at Mania.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that should have been
off the chain.
Three and a half, 4-star match easily. And you know, so I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's with the character or what they're trying to do with the character, but I think they need to kind of, he's got the look, just kind of take some of these shackles off of him and let him do his thing and get rid of the red light. I think that's the biggest thing. I think it probably wouldn't look as insane if he didn't have that red light.
What do you think about his finishing move, the mandible claw?
I like it. I think that's great for him. I really do. It's cool. It's something we haven't seen in ages.
Correct.
It's got a history behind it, you know, right. Thanks to Mick Foley. I like it.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of where he's kind of taken a little bit from Foley with his character, taking a little bit from Taker from his character to build this eerie type of character. I like it. But I also like it. He has other ways to beat you too now, not just the Sister Abigail. He can use so it gives him a couple different options too.
Instead of a red light, do you think that maybe they should dim the lights, maybe put out some smoke or fog?
He should be the same as Taker. He hits the rings, no more red lights. I don't have a problem putting it for the entrance. That's right. Fine. But damn it, when the match starts, cut that shit out, man. It makes things difficult to see. It's annoying. Nobody else gets it. I mean, Velveteen Dream doesn't get a match in purple, does he?
Correct.
So, like, it's stupid. It just shouldn't be there. It should be there for the presentation of the character to the ring, and that's it.
We are all in agreement.
Yes.
You have spoken.
By the way, you and I both picked Adam Cole, too, by the way, going back to that last match as well.
I'm on a roll.
So we are on a roll. All right.
As far as you know, I got that one right, too.
Yeah, well, hey, you know.
Because you're a huge NXT fan. I know how much preparation you do with NXT in general.
I'm going to interrupt this conversation about the Survivor Series for a moment to let you know about a great sponsor of the PBD cast. And that, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, back issues, basically anything you need for your comic book fandom, they got. So stop on over to the store, or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com. They're even folks on Facebook. All you got to do is search for WG Comics. And if you interact with the folks at the store, no matter in person or online, let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from the PVD cast and yours truly, John Orlando.
Well, hey, speaking of NXT, let's go to the next Survivor Series, which is 5 on 5 on 5. And I mentioned NXT because there were two members announced probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I suppose, for Team NXT. Walter and Damian Priest are now on the NXT team, along with, of course, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, and Tommaso Ciampa.
Why did they make Walter look like a bitch?
Thank you very, very much.
I like, it's Walter. It's a big deal. He's a big, bad dude. And the way he went out, I'm like, are you serious? Like, even, and I know how he is about his character. How did he agree to that? To come over here to do that?
You know,
there's some weirdness to that to me.
I'm going to steal something I heard from Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live. He had pointed out that it seemed in this match that every person that was over got jobbed out and looks like a complete loser and a geek. Walter, Mustafa Ali, who's from Chicago, and people were clearly behind him. And he is a popular wrestler. Ricochet, they all kind of got the jobber treatment. You know, although, for me, Ricochet should probably get that jobber treatment for Survivor Series because why are you dressed like Batwoman?
I thought it was, Batman Beyond.
Whatever. That dude has abs. Stop wearing a shirt.
He likes to dress up. He likes to cosplay for these shows. They did Riddle wrong, too. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, Riddle. Yes, exactly.
His elimination was crazy, too.
Mm-hmm.
But guys got to look strong. They need to look strong, too. Like, Keith Lee, how they put him over, the rub they gave him in this match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it came down to the last four with Ciampa and Lee and Rollins, and when I saw that, everybody it was Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I just like, come on, it's Reigns is going to go, and then, but I think I picked Team NXT, if I'm
not sure. We both did, actually. But one other thing I would like to say, too, real quickly, going back to looking strong. Many people online have bitched about this. I thought it was great. The count out of Braun Strowman.
Right.
Number one, we haven't seen a count out in forever. Number two, it makes him still look strong. Number three, the way that they did it, I thought was, okay, you know what? He got hit by Keith Lee and then the Claymore from Drew McIntyre.
Right.
Made it look pretty good.
And that was definitely a good way to go with that because then he's not getting pinned and then they can use him for stuff down the road for sure. What are you thinking, Rand?
I am still amazed at how underused Braun Strowman is. For him not to have been a champ or a bigger deal at this point.
Yeah, I mean.
They missed that.
They have missed the boat with that. And then how many times can you go back to that? How many times will people buy into Braun Strowman's a contender, man? He's, you know.
It's going to take at least 2 or 3 months to build him back up.
But my point is, will it happen, though? Or will fans finally go, nah, we've seen enough of him?
Yeah, because I think that they're killing his character now at this point with that. Now, there's certain feuds I would like to see with him when you see some of these NXT guys. Like, like Keith Lee, I think that'd be a stupendous feud with him with Braun Strowman just because of size and how Keith Lee can go and how he can make him. Keith Lee can take like these moves that he would give to lighter guys and make him look strong. And I think they would put on a phenomenal feud.
And they teased that on SmackDown. That's right. How SmackDown ended last Friday. There was a little stare down that certainly teased it. That would be a phenomenal feud. No doubt about it.
I had Keith Lee as my second winner of the night, even though he didn't win the match. I think he looks so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that the whole invasion angle and the whole bringing NXT, I think he's probably the second, like you said, overall, as far as showcasing NXT talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's looked the best.
Yeah, Ripley's the number one star. Keith Lee's number two, for sure.
Totally agree.
For sure.
Was a hockey game breaking out here?
Yes, it is. Okay. There is. Okay, next match. Brock beats Rey Mysterio. I actually thought this was a good match. I know some people have shit on it. I thought it was a good match. I enjoyed the fun with Dominic, like the double 619 and then the double splash. I thought that was fun. Then Dominic gets the shit suplexed out of him. You know, overall, I enjoyed it. It was the appropriate length, too, I felt. I didn't think it went too long. I don't think it went too short.
I've been described as such, too.
Yeah, well, anywho. So overall, I thought it was a decent match.
I didn't realize that they had first wrestled 15 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
It's been that long, and that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because Brock comes and goes, and Ray's come and gone a couple
mm-hmm,
of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard for me to imagine that 15 years ago that they wrestled.
Wow.
But then again, how long ago was it that we saw Brock Lesnar as King of the Ring here in Columbus, Ohio?
That would have been what?
15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
15 over 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just real quick. I'm looking forward to when Dominic wrestles because I would like to know, is he going to have the last name Mysterio?
Very true. Will be Rey Mysterio III.
Ooh, that would be awesome. See, that's what it should be because they've handed that down.
But Junior was his uncle's gig.
Right.
So,
right. So
I think it'd be great. I'm actually that match kind of has me anxious to finally see, you know, a lot of people, whatever, but to see Rey's son get in there and do it, because I've been a Rey fan forever, too, in a day, ever since the lawn dart incident.
Okay. With the Outsiders.
That was one of, you know, and I've enjoyed watching Rey evolve and, you know, and his character and everything that he's done, all his whatever matches. And going back to the match with that, though, I thought it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was something different. It was, instead of the whole just, you know, beat the shit out of the guy throughout the whole match, and then there's the comeback from the little guy, and then Lesnar ends up winning. It added a different aspect, because Lesnar's not the same guy he was. He's the suplex and the F5 guy. That's it. He doesn't do the same stuff he does. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to, it was a nice way to break up the monotony in that match.
Do you think at some point Rey gets a mask and gives it to us, to Dominik, as, here, you're a wrestler now, I want you to continue?
Oh, I think that that would be a great vignette to have in the back, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that's the direction they're going to end up going. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Although, hopefully it's not that mask that Rey wore, because I don't know why he was dressed like Doink.
I was thinking the Joker.
It is the Joker. I was being a dick. But
I was thinking Twisty from American Horror Story.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, anyways, you know what? But, you know, I give Rey a pass. I appreciate the fact that he does the cosplay kind of tights and whatnot, because he doesn't have abs. Look, I'm sorry.
Why are you so worried about abs?
Because it's jealousy. If I had Ricochet's abs, I would never wear a shirt. Off, yeah. Yeah, I would never wear a shirt.
Well, see, I have the luck of having his abs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but I still wear a shirt all the time. I just... Okay. Too many women get faint, and it's just not...
I know. I understand. I understand. It's a heavy burden.
I actually was watching this match. There was a commercial for Stone Cold's podcast, and I thought the show was over.
Was there an ad in the middle of the match?
After the match.
Oh, okay.
They said, coming up.
Yeah, the Stone Cold, the Undertaker,
so
whatever
they
it was called.
They play a minute of that, and I think it's off. So I actually looked over on Twitter and saw that there was another match coming up.
Yes, but Rand, to be honest, if I was watching this at home, I probably wouldn't have went to bed in the middle of this match, because... God, I thought it was terrible. I think it was the worst match of the night. I'm sorry. And we're going to be talking about, of course, Shayna Baszler beating Bayley and Becky. I thought this match was bad. I'm sorry.
Do you know why Bayley does not wear the belt?
No.
The way her, you know, her new costume is B-A-Y-L-E-Y. And if she held that belt underneath, the middle row would be A-E-W.
I don't know where you came up with that, but that's crazy.
Hey, that's Philip from research gave me that one.
Philip's amazing, man.
That's something I would expect to be on that that show with Action Bronson, where they get high and they talk about conspiracy theories.
I love me some Action Bronson.
Shit, man. Anyways, I'm sorry. I just didn't enjoy it. Go ahead, Joey.
And it wasn't that good of a match. And I think I know what they were going for. It's the women. You want to showcase them. Baszler's not ready for that. In my opinion, I don't think she is ready for that type of spotlight with this. I think that that would have made the main event world title match.
Yeah.
At the end of the night,
I would've.
Or God, they knew what the secondary titles, that three-way dance, they knew what that was going to be. I knew the whole time, like, man, why is this the main event? And it was not knocking them. I just don't think Baszler, just because they all haven't worked together that well. And they haven't worked together frequently. And I think that kind of mattered with that, too. And it's a shame it was so crappy. And then my prediction was off of that. I picked Bayley. I think it would have made sense for Bayley to go over in this match, but it didn't.
I picked Shayna Baszler because I felt like if they were going to give the rub to somebody from NXT, that little did I know that there was going to be lots of rubs for NXT, but she did win. I'm being 100% honest. I really, though, in the middle of this match, said, Bayley is going to win, Joey's going to be right, and then we're going to have NXT and SmackDown tied, you know, with the score, and then, in my mind, we're going to settle this on a special edition on the WWE Network, something a la This Tuesday in Texas, and they would
spin... Or Starrcade, which is all of a sudden coming up on Sunday.
What?
Yeah, yes. they on the network, yes. Yeah.
Well, where the hell...
Exactly. That's what I was like when I saw the promo for it.
You are exactly the right response.
Okay. Well, yes, that would have been great to settle in on Starrcade, because I didn't know that was a thing. Anyways, so I mean, seriously, it's coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday, live on the WWE Network.
One of the matches. Okay.
Hell if I know.
All right, Phillip, get on that. Wow. Okay, but anyways, I really thought that was what was going to happen. We were going to end this pay-per-view with a tie score, but luckily it didn't happen. So, Ran, any thoughts?
Well, NXT getting over and Raw looking so badly created the beginning of the Raw where Seth is calling out everybody else.
Which was terrible.
Yeah, you know what? We could talk about that.
Well, why didn't he call out his girlfriend? She lost.
Yeah, exactly. And he lost.
Yeah.
By the way, Phillip, thank you. Here we go. Here are the matches for this Sunday.
He deserves a raise.
I know. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, will take on Braun Strowman, Rand.
Ooh.
King Corbin is going to do battle with Roman Reigns.
That's new.
Seth Rollins takes on KO. The Kabuki Warriors will take on Becky Lynch.
Now, is that the Japanese Pirate Express?
It is. Okay. It is. But wait.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. The Kabuki Warriors will take on Flair and Lynch, Bayley and Banks, and Bliss and Cross in a fatal four-way tag match.
So our local Columbus girl comes back to action, which has been a while.
We will also have Nakamura teaming with Sami Zayn against The Miz in a handicap match for the IC belt.
Into vesting.
Buddy Murphy takes on Aleister Black.
And by the way, Buddy Murphy, what's the deal with your pants?
What's wrong with his pants?
I realize you want to have a different look, but don't look like you got in a scissor fight with a midget.
Here's the last two matches, by the way. New Day versus The Revival for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. And Rusev takes on Bobby Lashley.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's action-packed.
It is, isn't it? Oh, anywho, any other thoughts on the ladies' match to wrap up Survivor Series?
Barf.
I do notice that Becky Lynch was not in the decision. Bayley tapped to Shayna Baszler, which doesn't make Becky Lynch look bad and saves that match.
And she got her one up and set the end.
Yeah, so still
look like the man. So.
Right.
And by the way, she threw her through the Deutsch Rusinda.
Oh, the German announce table?
There you go. You didn't know you spoke German.
Un peu. Oh, wait, that's French. My bad. Yeah.
Chocolate cake.
Do we still have our French listeners?
Oh, we do. We're still very popular in France. 32 okay. listens.
You spoke to our French listeners.
We.
Good. I'd like to say a word to our neighbors to the south.
Okay.
How the hell you doing in Kentucky? Down there in the hollers. Is everything good?
Anywho, shall we talk about NXT War Games real quick?
Yeah, we should review it. We talked about it. Why not?
Okay. First off, big surprise, Pete Dunne defeated Killian Dane and Damian Priest. I thought this match went way too long. I looked it up. It was like 21 minutes. And I think, man.
They could accomplish what they did in 15.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. At points, I felt the crowd was totally out of it, especially for the first half of it. Just went way too long.
And for that crowd to be out of something, it speaks a lot to volumes because they were hot most of the night, especially for the War Games matches. They were loud and crazy and obnoxious, but yeah, they got a little quiet during that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that wasn't the match that actually started off the event. I just kind of threw it out there because we'd already talked about it. The match that actually started the whole event off was the women's War Games match. We saw Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae. They were the two survivors. They were victorious. Here's my thing. When Dakota Kai turned and attacked Tegan Nox.
Which, did you call that as soon as you saw her in the cage? Or
no, I did not. I actually was surprised by that. I will be 100% honest.
So I'm sitting on the couch where I go to the gig, and I looked at, it's a girlfriend, but I would get common law wife, I guess, at this point in my life.
Yeah, okay.
And I said, Dakota Kai attacked Mia Yim, is what they're going to say, and she's going to, or not, I mean, not Dakota Kai. Who was the... Is that Dakota Kai?
Yes,
okay, Dakota Kai. I'm sorry, I get the names mixed up.
That's okay.
And she's going to turn on her friend there, going to kind of try to dove down in the cage. And lo and behold, she got the nod to come out, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, and so my two things about it. Number one, I was surprised by it. I didn't see it coming. Couldn't, and I know we're in 2019, but couldn't William Regal, anybody, stop her from beating the shit out of Tegan Nox when she was already down in the cage? I'm like... You're William fucking Regal. Do something other than stop standing in front. Stop it. Like, I'm like, Wrap her up in something. Well, it and is carry
2019.
Her off.
He didn't want to lay a hand on a female.
What? He couldn't throw her over her shoulder and carry her to the back?
Yeah, you know, you never know. That might be some sort of abuse.
Anywho. But Dakota Kai was set to, of course,
Questing
replace.
Logic again.
Yeah, I know. Mia Yim, who was attacked earlier in the night.
Which, that really annoyed me because I wanted to see her in that Survivor Series.
I thought she was coming out. I really did. I thought they were going to have everybody in the match, and then at the just out of nowhere, here comes Mia Yim's music. Here she comes. Be damned that I got attacked. I'm going to kick all your asses. And I was surprised that that did not happen.
Totally agree. I was very annoyed by that.
Okay. To the incredible match of the night. Finn Balor defeats Matt Riddle. I thought this match was absolutely amazing.
See, and I thought it went a little long.
Really?
At times, yeah.
I thought it told a great story. I thought it had the mix of the old school with the mix of the new school. Like, the way Balor worked that goddamn side headlock. Wow, that was to me, it was a flashback to the 80s. They're a little tip of the hat, man. I'm going to work this headlock for a while. That was great. And then it had all the other stuff in it, too. Sorry, Joe.
No, you're fine. I feel like at times, though, because of that style of match, Riddle might have looked a little lost a couple times.
Yeah, maybe.
Because of that, I don't know. I think it might have went a little long. I was excited. I like the Balor character and where it's at right now.
Well, I do too.
I really enjoy it. I would have rather seen, and no offense to Riddle, I'd rather seen this been Gargano. Mm-hmm. The stinks that he was injured. But, yeah, it was definitely a match of the night. And my from a wrestling standpoint, now we're getting into the War Games matches, and that's a totally different
match. Yeah, of course. I'm saying that those two are, I kind of put an asterisk next to them because you know what you're going to get. You know it's going to be, you know, just an absolute chaos, as they always have been. Right. I think the chaos has ramped up a few in the last few years. But, yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about it. The Undisputed Era took on Ciampa, Keith Lee, Vin Dominic, Dijak, Dijonovic, whatever. Huh?
Dijakovic.
Say that again.
Dijakovic.
Dijakovic. I can't say it, dude. I said this last time.
Dijakovic.
Dijakovic.
Potato.
Okay, anyways. And Kevin Owens.
So the crowd loved it. They loved him being the fourth person. They went off the chain.
Great surprise.
And I was trying to get out the door to go to my DJ gig, and I was excited. I'm waiting for it to happen. I got putting deodorant on. I'm, you know, doing whatever I have to do and looking out, stopping back, going back and forth. And then I was like, meh. I guess if I was live, it'd be cool because the music's hot and it hits. And I was expecting just the unexpected. Kevin Owens was kind of like a possibility because of what happened on Raw.
Right.
I was expecting something really cool. I got myself too fired up for it.
Who were you expecting?
Sabu. No, I'm kidding.
Well, there's just people that we haven't seen lately. And like one we talked about with maybe John Morrison because he's returning. He's under contract again.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen. Where in the hell is EC3?
No, I don't know.
Where's Elias?
Right. There's another one.
He's injured. He wouldn't have made a lot of sense because he didn't have a run there. And this kind of everything tied back in because the Undisputed Era attacked Kevin Owens on Raw. So, but it turned out to be amazing.
Yeah,
like it fit the match.
My whole thing, I think, with Kevin Owens is that they should have tweaked his arrival. In other words, Adam Cole leaves the cage. He goes down. He's starting to set up those stupid tables. Which, by the way, that was the dumbest spot of them. I'm like, how many goddamn tables do you need? And you set the one up, which you ended up going through, which was very obvious. But as Cole's leaving the cage and he's going down, to me, that would have been the time to hit the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then that place would have went bonkers because it kind of was telegraphed that someone, if you're playing this, we don't know who it's going to be, you know, that's the angle, then make it a surprise. It wasn't so much a surprise. You knew someone was coming, maybe not Kevin Owens, but because they did the countdown and then they showed the camera shot of them all going, oh, you got nobody, and then you heard Owens. I just think it would have been better. Because of it, you know, if
the
it's
crowd still pop like crazy. Sure. I'm watching all these videos people took while they were there, and it was very Legion of Doom pop ish, like Road Warrior pop. They went nuts. The roof came off that place.
Yeah, most definitely. But how did Adam Cole not die? I would like to ask. Just taking that hellacious air raid crash through the tables. I mean, I don't know. I marvel at that man's ability to stay healthy after taking that bump.
Yeah, that was a... Go ahead.
And then take a big match the next night.
Right, true. Yeah. Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it was insane. There was a lot of insane action. And both... we really kind of just went over the women's. We didn't talk... The women's match was brutal, too.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the stuff they did. I was so excited and just so happy to see, you know, to see that match and watch it unravel and then watch the men's one, too, which was equally as brutal. But I enjoyed it, but I think... did I not pick the faces?
For the gentleman, yes, you did. Okay. I picked the Undisputed Era because I remember talking about maybe somebody might, the TBA might turn on the faces. By the way, Britt Baker reference and shot of her in the crowd.
Yes. That was crazy, too. Like, this is the second time it's happened on WWE TV.
Yeah. I have a theory that probably like cameraman 4 was like, oh shit, there's Britt Baker. And then when you heard an earpiece from Kevin Dunn, we're switching to camera 4, he just kind of swung over, you know, and then in the control truck, probably people were, God damn it, yeah, switch to crazy. 5, switch to 5, switch to 5, you know.
Then Morrow even said who it was.
Yeah, I know.
That's even better.
I know. I love Morrow. Morrow's the best. But yeah, I mean, as one point, as a friend of the podcast, Justin, pointed out, if the shoe was on the other foot, you damn well better believe there would be a cease and desist order within 10 seconds of that. If Adam Cole shows up in the crowd at AEW, you know Vince is immediately sending a cease and desist order, like within seconds of that shit hitting the air.
He didn't give a shit that Billy Gunn came out as Billy Gunn, though.
You know what? That's a great question. I think he may own that name, though. Because that was mentioned on another podcast I was listening to today. But I think he may own that name.
Well, I know he didn't own it when he was in TNA because he changed it.
True. Yeah. No, but I think he may have gotten the rights to it. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think he did.
Overall, it was a great TakeOver.
Yeah, TakeOver was very good. It was very solid. I thought Survivor Series was solid, too. Not the best one. Not the worst one. Middle of the road.
What'd
you guys think?
Yeah. We've had 33 Survivor Series.
Wow.
The first two were in Ohio.
Richfield Coliseum.
That's right.
In a building that did not survive.
It did not.
It did not.
No.
By the way, you had mentioned you have some of the team names that you wanted to highlight. What were some of those team names?
I did not bring them with me.
Oh, man.
Philip, get on that. Some of the early year Survivor Series had some really goofy names for the teams.
Oh, definitely. That's a given because you're in the
wasn't there? There was the was there one, the Un-Americans, if I remember correctly?
There was an American team, and I think the Un-Americans... But we've lost that because now we have this brand separation.
Yeah.
Which really doesn't work.
Man, it would be.
People are moving back and forth. Brock Lesnar quits one to show up on another.
Yeah.
The brand separation is screwed up.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to keep tabs on who's where and what.
All right, well, Philip just sent me something here. Across the iPad.
He's a good guy.
Okay.
Top 10 Survivor Series names. And this
right.
is kind of just kind of go through. Here is the Royals, which was King Mabel, Jerry Lawler, Isaac Yankum, and Hunter Hearst Helmsley in 1995.
Okay, that's a good one.
How did Isaac Yankum, the dentist...
He was Jerry Lawler's dentist, personal dentist. That was the storyline.
Okay, I've got... This is one of those hard to navigate
websites. Was the Gobbledygookers group in there?
He didn't have a group.
Oh.
The 4x4s. Jim Duggan, Bret Hart, Ronnie Garvin, Hercules...
Oh, I thought Tugboat was on that team. I was going to say Tugboat, but okay.
Guts and Glory.
Uh-oh.
I didn't. Lex Luger, Mabel, Adam Bomb, and the Smoking Guns.
Okay.
That one is...
Hey, speaking real quick, I want to give a shout out to that Revival Undisputed Era match on NXT. Because they did the old Power and Glory double team maneuver that was fantastic. The Superplex into the Splash. That match, pretty darn good.
Match. Shawn Michaels and his Knights when they wrestled, because that was supposed to be
Jerry.
Jerry, correct.
Jerry the King.
The
Holland.
Foreign Fanatics.
Uh-oh.
Yokozuna, Crush, Ludwig Borga.
Yes.
And Jacques Rougeau.
The Hellraiser from Helsinki.
The Mountie, so. Here, this is the next one here. The Mercenaries. Sergeant Slaughter, Boris Zukov, and the Orient Express.
I remember that one. Okay.
That's just a crazy... The Teamsters, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Owen Hart, Jim Neidhart, and Jeff Jarrett. What was the one with the Warrior that we keep seeing the video that came back? Where it's him and Michaels and Neidhart, and they're just screaming the whole time. Here's the Dream Team, Dusty Rhodes, Brutus Beefcake, Red Rooster, and Tito Santana. I was hoping for some better. Philip, you should have got me a better one. I know we have a little bit slower internet here, but you could at least. Oh, clowns are us. Doink, dink, pink, and wink.
Which some is, of these teams, it's hard to tell if they were faces or heels.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The number one that they put on this list, the Rude Brood. Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and the Fabulous Rougeaus.
Nice. Awesome.
I like Roddy's Rowdies. I thought that was...
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. And
get a better list next time.
I enjoyed was the Ultimate Warrior, the Legion of Doom, and the Texas Tornado, because they were all... I think they were just called the Warriors, if I remember correctly, I think.
It might have been just the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, gentlemen.
By the way, 75% of them dead.
Yes. Yes,
in indeed. In case you didn't know.
In case you did not know.
I got some unfinished questions from the WWE.
All right, go ahead. Fire away.
What happened to the 24/7 title?
It's still there. I think R-Truth won it back.
From the guy, the random office worker, right?
Yeah, because what happened is he beat one of the Singh brothers, the one that had it, and then... Okay. Then R-Truth won it from him or something.
Okay.
Are we ever going to find out who the father of Maria Kanellis, Bennett's baby, is?
No, because Bennett asked for his release. So we probably
not. Yeah. So it'll be a big
thing. And just let everybody know it's not me.
And once again, another pregnancy angle that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. There's never been one that's worked in history.
You mean giving birth to a hand isn't a great angle to...
It'll go down as one of those great questions, like, and here you go. I don't know if you'll remember this. Do you remember when Larry Zbyszko showed up in Jim Crockett Promotions?
For
like 1989, for a cup of coffee real quick. And he had an envelope that had supposedly incriminating pictures of Dusty Rhodes in them. And Baby Doll, who was aligned with Larry Zbyszko, in the middle of like a interview, handed them to Dusty and he walked off the set. And everybody was like, what's in the envelope?
They never said what's in the envelope,
did they? No, they never did, because I think shortly thereafter, Al Perez showed up. Zbyszko and Perez were a tag team for like 3 weeks, and then he was back to the AWA. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they were, what was in the envelope.
I don't know.
I don't think I'd want to see incriminating pictures of Dusty Rhodes. Let's be honest. Him with the shirt off and that birthmark was quite scary anyway.
It was.
Maybe that's a future episode from the Viceland channel.
That should be it. There you go. What was in the envelope?
Were those... The way you ask, it's like you had multiple questions. You have two questions that still had yet to be answered. I was ready for it, like...
Well, the other was Elias.
Where was he at?
Elias, actually, he is... Well, but the rumor is that was a kayfabe injury, that he wasn't really injured, that they just took him off air for a while.
Which is stupid,
because I agree.
Best thing is going with his song.
I agree wholeheartedly. I totally agree. But yeah, supposedly he had a broken ankle. That was the rumor. But it was... Kind of kayfabe.
Are we ever going to see anybody with Bray Wyatt the Fiend?
Well, I think Liv Morgan. Besides that,
for a while.
Yeah. Besides that, no. Are we ever going to find out what's in Rowan's cage?
Oh yeah.
That's weird.
I hope it's Hornswoggle.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. I don't understand that at all. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that when he does that. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Logic. You don't know what's in it, but there's all of a sudden a camera inside the cage to see him talking to whatever's in it.
True. Well, so. All right, with that, gentlemen, let's wrap things up. DJ Joy Blaze, where can you be find out? Where can you be found out on the internet?
I can be find at DJ Joey Blaze on Twitter. Check me out there. You can find me at various venues around the Columbus, Ohio area, DJing, playing your favorite tunes.
There you have it. Rand.
In addition to Twitter, under... My name, Rand Dittmar. I will be ringing the Salvation Army bell 3 days next week.
Really? Where at?
Huffman's Market over off of Tremont Avenue.
There you go. All right. So if you wish to donate some cash to the Salvation Army, you can do so and say hello to Ringside Rand.
Even if it's just quarters out of your pocket.
There you go.
Can we shoot a wrestling promo with you in a Santa suit?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Fantastic. There you go. Enough said. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Survivor Series recapped by yours truly and the Pro Wrestling Pundits. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoyed the opinions and the insights and maybe a few of the puns on this episode. But
you can get in touch with me and let me know what you thought about episode 213. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can also shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page, and that, of course, is facebook.com/pvdcast. And just in case you want to tell folks about this great podcast, well, there's a ton of places you can get it, including pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, but it's also available through iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, the Echo Network, Radio.com app, Pod Paradise. Basically, any podcast platform should carry the PVDcast. Just search for it, PVDcast. Sometimes you have to throw my name on there, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know one final time here today about one final sponsor, and that, of course, is the fine folks at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. They have tons of titles for you to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So to download your free audiobook today, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. With that little bit of business out of the way, I'm going to close up shop. I thank everybody for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.